we're joined as always by the fantastic, the awesome, the incredible, the incredibly close to me right now, Jason Spoolstra. Jason, how's it going, buddy?
I'm doing really great. Happy to be here in your casa. You know, it's always a pleasure being under your roof.
Correct. No matter how unworthy you may be. It's a liturgy joke.
I think they got it.
No, I know. It's just funnier if I explain it.
Yeah.
Man, how the hell are you?
I was gonna be nice and say, you know, H-E double hockey sticks, but you decided to say hell.
Hey, you know what? St. Francis de Sales says it, so
yeah.
Why not?
I tell you what, like, you open this up, and I don't know about you, but at first I'm going, oh boy, here we go, right? You're starting to worry, especially, you know, if we're gonna be honest, we spent so much time talking about judgment that I was going, uh-oh, are we going to have another Crossing Guard episode? Or are we going to have something to really talk about? And thankfully we do. Like, I do. I know you said right before we hit record that you have some more to talk about than the last episode.
Yeah, so we are doing chapter 15. This is the seventh meditation on hell. And these meditations aren't super long, crazy, drawn out meditations, but there's just a lot there. And the last one we talked about was on judgment, and I don't know, that one, it felt like it was we'd already done all the hard work, the culmination was there, we tackled it, and so the judgment was more of a okay, now what. This is, I guess, considering the different options, right? You know, of course, the church teaches about the four last things, right? Judgment, heaven, hell, purgatory, and
well, no, technically, death. Judgment,
thank you.
Heaven, hell.
Thank you.
Sorry,
because purgatory heads into heaven. You're right.
Yeah.
Death, which we considered.
Yes.
And then judgment, which we considered, and now we're on door number three. So hell.
Yes. What'd you think of this?
Yeah, I mean, it's weird to say it was good, but it was good.
Yeah.
I think the first consideration grabbed me right away. As I was going through it, just the imagery of the infernal abyss, the indescribable torture.
Mm-hmm.
And then the line that I highlighted was talking about the suffering that is to be experienced in hell.
Yep.
That because having used their members and senses for sin, it is just that through them they should suffer now. That the souls that are suffering the indescribable torture in hell, it's torture in every sense and in every member. I don't know, I guess the concept that the methods or devices that you utilized for pleasure, the things that you stimulated, it's just that now those are the instruments of your torture, or at the very least maybe the vehicles, mm-hmm, with which it's being delivered. And he talks a little bit about, like, the eyes that delighted in impure, vicious sights now behold devils, and so on with the ears and all the other senses, that it really, it makes a lot of sense. It flips it on its head, that when we use these senses for anything other than God, the short term good that we see or want to experience here on earth is actually setting us up for this long term, you know, despair.
Yeah. For me, it was, the word I had was sobering. To your point, it made me think of the scripture verse of Jesus saying, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. If your hand causes you to sin, yeah, cut it off. Like, it is better for you to go through this life, meaning here on earth, than to suffer with your both eyes in all eternity. And here Francis de Sales is painting that picture very well for us. And which then moved me into the second consideration, which is the one that really hit me the most, where he says, you know, as horrible as all that is, all this sensory, the greatest is, as he says, the privation and the pain of loss of God's glory, which is forever denied in their vision. And for me, you know, I'll be honest, like this past week, since last time we recorded, it's been a really, really rough week for me personally. I've fallen into some sin that I'm not proud of and desperately in needing to go to confession. Mm-hmm. I will be going to confession this weekend.
I've been meaning to talk to you about that. I think you stabbed a guy with a trident.
I did. I didn't want to share that, but all right. But it's so amazing to me how flippantly I treat God's grace, and or I guess how I flippantly treat the sacraments, specifically confession, that I'm just like, well, I'll have confession, so it's okay. Or as if I'm promised tomorrow, that I'm promised forgiveness, that I'm promised that I'll have time to make right with God before I die, so I don't have to worry about hell. But here I'm being really sobered and saying, you're not promised anything. You're only promised right now, the second that you're breathing. I could drop dead right now. And am I truly ready to be judged? And do I, you know, am I truly dreading forever being lost and being denied the beatific vision? And that's the last thing I want. And that's like obviously the very first level of contrition and the first level that Francis de Sales is making us go on. And he's trying to wake us up. And it sure woke me up.
The imagery of Absalom, the son of King David, if Absalom cared not to be released from exile, if he may not see his father's face, that if he couldn't see his father's face, he's like, well, I guess I'd just rather stay here. That's just a taste of the torture that we have of not being able to see our father's face, that vision. And you're right. I think about how cavalier I can be at times with sin and, you know, go right up to the line and say, and we're playing these semantic games.
Yep.
Right. Where, well, technically I didn't do this, mm-hmm. you know, but the spirit is there. The desire is there. Maybe the action is there, but that's only one facet. It doesn't mean that intent is not, or that the ingratitude of God's grace is not there. Of course, that's huge. That's there. And then, of course, like you're talking about, and I think that we're all probably guilty of that, of taking for granted the accessibility and the goodness of confession. That, I'll catch confession on Saturday. And then something comes up and you go, well, I'll catch it next time around. And how arrogant.
Yeah.
To think that God, how presumptuous to think that God is going to give you that opportunity again.
And also just like how flippant we are with our souls.
Oh man.
Like that's what I'm feeling.
And I don't want to push towards scrupulosity.
No.
But yeah. I don't think we are.
No.
But the idea that like, if we truly understood the goodness of God and how much we damage ourselves,
yeah,
and our relationship with Him, of course, and of course, just in what St. Francis de Sales is talking about here, the effects of hell, and the true and utter despair that it is, the torture that it is, then we would try our absolute hardest not to sin. And I can't say that that's happening. But not only that, when we do sin, we would repent so quickly mm-hmm. that we would see it. This would be such a drastic thing that, oh no, I have damaged my relationship with the body of Christ, with God, with, you know, with my relationship with him, I've got to do anything I can to resolve this as quickly as I possibly can. Yeah, urgency is the word that comes to mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it also reminds me of, like, this is the sin of our first parents with Adam and Eve, that we think we are going to, that Satan sold them that we are going to be like gods. And because we are going to be like gods, we don't need forgiveness. We don't need, you know, heaven, because, you know, heaven is what we make of it and where we are. And ultimately, there's no hell. And how many times, even today in our modern time, we see, you know, hell, you know, is really anybody in hell? Is hell even real? And, you know, obviously Francis of Sales and the Catholic Church has always taught, like, no, hell is a very real place. And it is present.
Yeah, and you said present, not pleasant, because it absolutely is not pleasant. And I want to move to the third consideration. Please. Here. And he's talking about how insupportable the pains of hell are, and especially in terms of their eternal duration. And I highlighted this, that if the irritating bite of an insect or the restlessness of fever makes an ordinary night seem so long and tedious, and man, does it, goodness gracious, I thought that's perfect what he nailed it. He nailed that. Then how terrible will the endless night of eternity be? Oh my gosh.
I remember when I was reading this, it reminded me, I had my appendix removed. I was having appendicitis back in high school, and it hit me at like 10 o'clock at night. And my mom rushes me to the ER, and I'm having to spend all night in this excruciating pain on my stomach. I have a fever. Thankfully, I wasn't throwing up, but just, it was unbearable. It was one of the worst nights of my life. I got no rest. I just wanted to die. I just was like, take it away from me, Lord, please. So reading this, it just brought me right there. And he's like, now imagine that night forever.
Forever. Yes. Like, oh my gosh. And then if he concludes, where nothing will be found save despair, blasphemy, and fury. And I thought, man, what a rosy picture. Goodness. Yeah, so I was having a conversation with a group of guys, and we were talking about, I guess it was around All Souls Day, and we were talking about heaven and hell, and one guy in particular was talking about how some people are universalists, and they believe that everybody is going to be going to heaven, and of course that is a heresy called universalism, you know, that
right.
that everybody, that the love of, we've talked about this before, the love of God will overcome everything, which completely goes counter to the way that God made us. It obliterates free will. And then the other thought he said is still others say that we'll go to purgatory first to get cleaned up, which ultimately is still a form of universalism, because you're saying we're all going to go there and then go to heaven.
Right.
You know? And then he said, and then some others say that maybe that you would go to hell. And I remember I jumped in. I was like, Jesus would be one of those that would say that. And then clearly I was reading this, I was reminded of that conversation. I'm like, and also St. Francis de Sales, he would also talk about hell and say that is, you know, what's out there. And I don't know. I think about our day and age, and I haven't read all of the Screwtape letters, but isn't it one of the things that Screwtape is trying to do, or maybe his boss is trying to get him to do, is to not consider hell as the devil's not real, hell's not real.
Exactly. Yep.
Right. And I think about today's day and age, and like, oh my goodness, like that's what's happening. That's there. That we're not considering eternity, mm-hmm. that we're only considering now,
yep.
and we're seeking pleasure and comfort now. And this takes us back to the first consideration, that we receive this comfort, we receive this pleasure through our senses, whether it be through food or drink or sex or drugs or sleep or TV or our phones or any of these things that appeal to our senses that bring us stimulation, mm-hmm. and it's just poisoning the well. It's not using the gifts that God has given us for his greater glory, but rather perverting them for our own satisfaction and gains. And this is what you're talking about with the sin of Adam and Eve, that wanting to see good, wanting to create my own good,
yeah,
wanting to call something good, whether it's good or not, and enjoy it. And the reality is that, and we've talked about this before too, that God will let you enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
Like you will.
I remember you saying that. It's such a good point.
Yeah. That there's pain, there's suffering, and there's pleasure and peace and joy. It's what order, right?
Yep.
Do we want to experience all of our, get all of our pleasure out of the way right now and have nothing but pain for eternity, which is what St. Francis de Sales is saying, or embrace the cross now, sacrifice, which again, by the way, joy still comes through that,
yeah,
and then have that eternity with God, which I'm sure we'll consider. Yeah, well, it'll be the next consideration for us.
Yep. Yeah, so we move on. Francis talks about, you know, affections and resolutions. You know, for me, it was the second one where the very first line, confess that you have repeatedly deserved to do so, meaning like you are deserving of hell, basically.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And I remember when I read that, I was in the chapel and I said, Lord, again, going back, we said, Lord, I'm not worthy to receive you. I'm not worthy. I deserve hell. I deserve the just punishment because you are just and I have not followed you. And I, you know, it's the tax collector, the parable of the tax collector in the temple that Jesus talks about, just beating his breast, just saying, Jesus, or not Jesus Christ, but you know, God, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
And just can't even lift his eyes up to God because he's so ashamed of his sin. But Jesus says, blessed is he, because he's only comparing himself to God. But when you do that, you realize you are so insignificant. You are so, there's nothing that you can offer. And I remember a youth minister said this to me once, is there's nothing that you can offer to God except for your sin.
Hmm.
Meaning everything that you can offer him, he's already created it for you. He made it for you. And I remember saying, like, well, what about your free will? Like, you freely choose. I'm like, right, but who gave you the ability to have free will?
Mm-hmm.
God.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that's in this universe, everything that's been created, when you great, God's like, okay, that's cute. I made that. I created all that. I know I created you.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing he did not create that we offer to him is our sin. And I think that's what Francis is getting at here, is just like, Lord, I'm offering you my sin because that's what I deserve, because that's all I can give you. And I'm sorry. But as we'll talk about, as he goes on, and as we know, he's merciful. And he's saying, because of that, because you realize of your sinful nature, that God doesn't want to leave you there, and he didn't leave us there, and he doesn't leave us there, and he doesn't want us to be left there. Thanks be to God. And that's why we have such great hope and joy and all the rest.
Yeah, that's really something. That's an interesting thought, that sin is what we have to offer God. And it sounds so crazy to think of it that way, this evil, this you know, poor choices, these negative like that's what we have to offer God. But
I mean, don't get me wrong, just real quick, like I can already hear the people saying, but you know, yes, our very lives we're offering up, and we should, and all the good stuff.
Sure.
Too, but hopefully you get the point of this. Anyways, go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's so fine. I'm just was gonna say that to do that, in order to actually be able to offer our sin, we have to name it.
Yep.
We have to identify it, right? We have to own it. And we have to be willing to let it go.
Yep.
And it makes a lot of sense that what you're saying, that youth minister told you, when you ponder on that, because isn't that what God wants for us, is to be able to own our mistakes, to ask for forgiveness, and then to be trusting in him, and so trusting that we're able to let go of these wounds, that we're able to let go of these struggles that we have, these sins, and also just to be vulnerable, to allow him, because, okay, so we let go of our sin, we offer it up to him, and we let it go. So now what comes in to fill its place? And that's him.
Yep.
That's his grace. That's his mercy. That's his love. That's what makes us stronger. And it's only in the offering of our sin that we can never hope to get to that point. Yeah. What a great reflection there. The only other thing I highlighted here was also in that second resolution, just after that first sentence, there's a second sentence. And then after that one, there's a third sentence. And that's the one I highlighted. Resolve on distinct, definite acts,
yeah,
by which you may avoid sin and thereby eternal death.
Yeah.
And so I was thinking about the act of contrition.
Yeah.
And so in the act of contrition, there's a promise, of course, there to avoid whatever leads me to sin. And so, like St. Francis de Sales is saying, like, okay, stop. Now be very deliberate here. Like, what are the distinct, definite acts of sin, and how can we change the game here? What can you do specifically? What are actual... Don't just say it. Don't just pay lip service to this. Like, actually stop and think, what am I going to do different? How am I going to remove myself from the near occasion of sin? How am I going to change my environment? How am I going to change the scenarios, the situations around me that lead me into sin so that I can avoid it and not even come close to it? I don't have to worry about the temptation even coming up. I can be away from it altogether. And so just that right there, that call to action, that really resonated, that if we really want this to happen, boots on the ground, this is one of the steps that it takes to get there.
And thankfully, you know, Francis de Sales, he'll get into that more as we go along in this book, in the meditations, and just his overall guidance on what you're talking about right here is what tangible things can we start doing? Because I think we've already discussed about this, that just because you confess a sin, especially if it's a habitual sin, does not mean that you're just going to magically... going to be removed of the temptation of that sin in our lives.
Right. No, absolutely. And so we have to go that extra step. We have to be willing to go that extra mile. And so, the accountability here that St. Francis de Sales is doing, the actual, like, no, define definite acts, uh-huh. You know, like, what are you going to do different?
It's treating us like children, which we need to be treated like, mm-hmm, children at times where, you know, whenever you have your child and they apologize and you have to, like, okay, so what did you learn from this?
Right.
How are you going to move forward?
Right. Absolutely. What's going to be different next time?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean, he's like a tough coach.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway. Great, great stuff. It's always good to ponder on eternity. And in this case, on hell in particular.
Yeah.
And, you know, we think about these things, we ponder these things because it helps us to become more resolute in our desire to never want to experience these things, mm-hmm, and to make those solid, everlasting changes to reorient ourselves back towards him so that we can hopefully be with him one day forever.
Amen.
Anything else?
No, sir. I don't have anything else.
No, I think that's pretty much it for me, too. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us and listening to us talk about hell and judgment and all the good stuff that St. Francis de Sales has in store for us. You can, of course, find us at our website, readingyourwaytoheaven.fireside.fm. You can... leave a comment on any of the episodes there, but you can also leave a comment or a review in your phone. If you don't mind giving us 5 stars, leaving a review, and sharing this, of course, with your friends and with your family so that we can help grow this community and let other people know about this wonderful resource and book by this great Saint Francis de Sales. And then I guess until next time, Jason, goodbye.